Back Talk is an extension of the award-winning movie review show, It's Movie Time, which airs on Fridays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, the podcast features additional content and banter with guests. Back Talk is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
Oh, FeedSpot loves us. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Mary Urina.
And this is Back Talk. You know, one of the things that movies achieve is giving us a perspective on living. Not always the best living, but they do suggest in many cases a better way of living, or at least looking at the way we live. Anyway, we have one called Good Fortune, Mary, and because you're my good fortune, I asked you to join me here.
Thanks.
Set it up for us.
Good Fortune is a rare comedy theatrical release written, directed, produced, and starring Aziz Ansari. And we have the well-meaning Gabriel, guardian angel, played by Keanu Reeves. Well, he's returning to his comedic roots where many of us first discovered him.
Yeah, he's the true deadpan.
So Gabriel, the well-meaning guardian angel, his main job is to protect people from accidents when they're texting and driving.
I love that part of it.
But he wants to do more. He wants to more deeply help those who he encounters. So he starts looking for a lost soul who, based on Arj, which is the role played by Aziz Ansari's life, he decides to help him by switching his life with that of Jeff, played by Seth Rogen, who is a wealthy tech investor. Hijinks and comedy ensue when those two switch lives. Gabriel's intention was to show Arj that his life would be worth living. But in the end, Arj discovers that having money really does solve a lot of your problems.
I love that twist.
And so then they're trying to work it back, all three main characters, so that their true lives are restored.
I'm tough on comedy, and I enjoyed this. I never have belly laughs, but this one I enjoyed. And I especially enjoyed that it wasn't what we'd expect, that interpretation that money is going to corrupt. There is some comfort in having enough money.
Well, and this actually ends up being more of a commentary on the gig economy and those who have to work multiple jobs in order just to make ends meet. And that's Arj's life. He's an aspiring documentarian, but he's living in his car, food deliveries for people. He does odd jobs. And that's actually how he meets Jeff, who lives in this spectacular mansion overlooking Los Angeles and wants to have his garage cleaned. And as they're walking to get to the garage, they're passing all these doors that have opened to these collectible cars that Jeff admits he's never even driven. He just acquires them and has them.
It reminds me of Jay Leno having hundreds of cars. He can't possibly enjoy them other than visually. And
It's what he collects. It's just a high-end collection of fur babies or other types of fad-type things. So it's surprisingly more of a commentary, I felt, on that. And when you see the trailer, you immediately think of It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, and let's talk about that later. That's the primary inspiration for this, or
at least... It certainly is, but then they trade places. So it takes from Trading Places, I think, as well as It's a Wonderful Life, A Christmas Carol, and Scrooge. So there's a lot of different influences, different elements. But again, the surprising thing for me was how much of a commentary it was on the gig economy and how good people really struggle to make ends meet and have to piece together their jobs in order to do that. And then how the wealthy class treats them.
Sure.
They're invisible to them. They blame them if they don't get enough ranch dressing with their wings, don't tip well. When they switch lives, Jeff, who was completely oblivious, because we find out that his parents were both surgeons and he came from a very upper class.
Hardly a self-made man.
Came from a very upper class.
Though I do love Seth Rogen. He has a droll part of him that just appeals to me.
He does, and he makes what could be an unlikable character likable.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
He has a propensity to do in most of his roles,
yes,
where he plays kind of the negative antagonist type role. And he discovers, because of their switched lives, how hard other people have it. So there's redemption for him. There's certainly redemption for Arj to discover when he doesn't want to give up the life that he has. And there's even redemption for Gabriel, who gets fired for stepping out of the bounds of his job. There's even hierarchy in Guardian Angels.
With his little wings.
With his little wings, because he hasn't earned his big wings, yeah. So he can't fly.
And he likes all the things that we like, our hamburgers.
Well, he's discovering, when he gets demoted and has to become human, he becomes Jeff's unlikely companion on trying to earn money, trying to find a place to live. They do end up sleeping in their car. But he has to discover what it's like to eat. And there's a very charming scene when he and Seth or Jeff are at a diner, and Jeff's teaching him how to eat a hamburger, how to enjoy a milkshake, and then eat chicken nuggies, which becomes kind of a rolling joke.
I think at one point he exclaims how great it is to be able to chomp onto that burger. It's a huge burger.
It's a very huge burger. And we mentioned Keanu Reeves earlier. I discovered him early in his career when he was doing Bill and Ted's Great Adventure and actually Parenthood. And this character of Gabriel and the way he plays him reminds me of some of that innocence, if you will, of those characters, and very funny delivery, very subtle delivery.
Deadpan.
But that's where the honesty and innocence comes in, because he doesn't know.
Childlike.
Childlike when he becomes human. Yes.
Yeah. Whereas others might, in any of these movies, others might go over the top. He is under the top in his interpretation, which makes it, people who have commented on this film comment almost initially on what a great presence he is in the film. I have to give a lot of credit for trying this, because I think some of these themes are very close to home for many people. One of the characters I like that's not fully developed is Elena, is it?
Elena, played by Kiki Palmer. Yeah. She is the love interest of Arj, and they meet because he's working part-time at Heaven Hardware, which certainly is identifiable by many big box improvement stores that we all can name.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And so close to the time, to the current time, when I think about the No Kings celebration here yesterday, and that her trying to establish a union.
Yes.
You know, gosh, how many people have been sympathetic to unions over the years, and we've kind of lost even the energy of unions, I think. It's so complicated to be a gig worker.
Very complicated, because you're not full-time, so businesses are trying to make as much money off of you as they can without offering you sometimes even safe working conditions. Especially, there's a scene where Gabriel gets his first paycheck as a dishwasher, and he looks at the amount of money he's getting, and he's like, why isn't it more? And the clearly immigrant laborer who's in charge of or owns has to explain to him, you've got taxes to pay, you've got Social Security to pay into. And people forget in this immigrant argument that we're having right now that immigrants pay into those systems support our society. So there's a lot of subtle commentary made about the haves and the have-nots, the wealthy versus the poor, immigrants versus non-immigrants. It's a lot of subtle commentary, and it's handled with humor, charm. There are a few parts of the script that I felt were flat.
That's always the truth in comedy, though. You're right.
But overall, it's a charming, enjoyable experience. Yeah. And it's great to go to the theater, as you said, to laugh, laugh, and laugh with others.
Yeah.
In our streaming world, we miss sharing that communal experience of seeing a film together.
And as you're talking, I'm wondering if maybe we have so few comedies now because things have become so dark and foreboding. You know, that they're just not even trying it.
Well, it was interesting. Normally when you see a film in the theater, you've got the trailers ahead of time. You normally get trailers that are aligned with the film that you're seeing. Not so much. I don't think there's a lot of comedies currently in the pipeline for release. And so the films that we saw trailers for generally were Halloween oriented, scary, and certainly not comedic. Or intentionally comedic.
I'll tell you what's not comedic are the number of ads that you have to sit through till you get even to the trailers. And I'm remembering back before you were born, I never saw an ad in a theater. We thought trailers were ads. That was about 15 minutes straight. And then when they say get ready for your movie, it's just another ad. You're not even getting there.
They do have to make money, and it's no different than streaming.
All right.
Well, I truly hope that I'm able to get you out of your dark mood, because we are talking about Good Fortune, which is a comedy.
You want to know something? I love the dark.
Pull you away from the dark and into the light.
Oh, Mary, it brings out the English major in me. Yes, in our movie expeditions, Mary and I have discovered a comedy. What do you know? And actually,
a rare find.
And actually one that amuses both of us. And we're not promising huge laughs over this, but I think you've hit on what really appeals to me about this movie, and again, it's called Good Fortune, is how much it comments on our life, on our serious life, and particularly for those who aren't as privileged as you and I are. I appreciate movies so much for hitting me over the head, but gently and subtly, as this movie does, with being aware that people aren't always as lucky as we are. We don't all have good fortune like that. But we're talking about the actors and the acting. When those three men are together, I like that energy.
They're a great combination. And what's nice is that I know that Aziz and Seth are longtime friends. I don't know where Keanu fits into the mix. Originally, Aziz was considering Seth for the role of Gabriel. And after he shared the script with him and Seth reacted to it and wanted to do it and they were talking, they decided that Jeff would really be the better role for Seth, and then they had to find their Gabriel. Keanu Reeves came up in conversation, and Aziz didn't know him, but reached out to him. They met, shared the script, liked it, and Keanu signed on. It was written during COVID. It was shot in early 2024. Okay. And then went into post-production. It actually didn't have release until the Toronto Film Festival in September of this year. Election hadn't happened yet. Aziz was really commenting on society as it was during COVID.
Yes, yes.
Things have gotten much more divided in this country since the election of 2024. It feels even more spot on in terms of the commentary about society now, because I think those divisions are much stronger and more stark.
Harry, what do you think as we're looking at visitations by angels in movies? The one that comes up here that we mentioned, It's a Wonderful Life. Is there a good comparison between the two? Can we see this right away?
I think you do because of the premise, but beyond that, because it goes more into a Trading Places scenario, there's a brief few scenes where when Gabriel encounters Arj and tries to show him that his life is worth living, the scenes that he shows basically are the same life that he's living. He just now has Kiki Palmer's character, Elena, in his life as his love.
Yes.
But they're moving around. They're still working low-paying jobs. And then the last scene, they have a dog, but they come back from the vet and the dog needs a surgery and they can't afford the surgery and they're going to have to put him down. And so they come back to Arj and Gabriel talking, and Arj is like, why did you show me that? My dog is dying? That's not better. And so that's when he decides to switch his life with Jeff.
Jimmy Stewart's role in It's a Wonderful Life is one where a person has to recognize what is good about his life. And where it needs divine intervention, I think his name is Clarence.
Clarence is the angel.
He, again, is not terribly sharp, Clarence. He's full of heart, just the same way that Keanu plays this one. There's a real genius in that. It doesn't overtake the movie. The angel doesn't become the main focus of the movie, but rather it's the way that we can get into ourselves is actually by spiritually getting out of ourselves, I guess.
Well, and Gabriel disappears for quite a long stretch of the film.
That's right.
Because once the switch is made between Arj's life and Jeff's life, we go through a period where we're seeing them adjust to their life. And so we don't see Gabriel, but I think the film is better when that character is in the film.
Yes.
You now have a troika, three characters who, through these circumstances, are learning life lessons.
Yeah, great. You know, and it's a lovely point. We do have Clarence in It's a Wonderful Life giving more of the editorial comment.
Exactly.
And
Clarence isn't at risk of, I don't think, I don't remember.
Losing
losing his wings, right, and becoming human.
But he is under the thumb. He's not doing a great job. Is there something about that? What I like is that one of the solutions here to a happier life is people interacting like the three that you were talking about.
Relationship.
And it always devolves to love, of course, or revolves to love. So we know that answer. Counterintuitive for at least what movies have made us think about. Oh, yeah, we know what's going to happen. Did you ever see The Bishop's Wife?
It's a Cary Grant film.
Now, I did not ask you.
Do I remember much dreams. About it? No, because it was a Cary Grant film.
It is a wonderful movie. It is such a delight to see Grant so cool as an angel, and knowing that he really can't be a danger, even to a marriage such as it might
have been. His wife, who is moving on. Yes. Yeah. So that character is very similar to the character he plays in The Philadelphia Story.
Ah.
In terms of his relationship with his wife.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, right.
Love triangle.
The love triangle, right. Now, you may not have seen in 87 Wings of Desire.
I did see it.
I'll see you. This is why you're here. Because you're one of the only persons I know who would ever be able to say that she saw Wings of Desire.
I did see it. Very stark. Not in the same comedic spirit.
Oh, no.
As Good Fortune.
Right.
And it was a German film, if I'm
yes,
not mistaken.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
So it has that German sensibility.
Our major character here, I think there are several characters, and they preside somewhat over Berlin, as I remember. But in the end, he gives up. And this is a typical way in which even poets look at the ethereal, is that somebody would be willing to give up his immortality in order to enjoy the sensuality, so to speak, that we have.
True. Gabriel goes through that unwillingly.
Yes.
He was forced to give
up. You're so right.
And A Christmas Carol.
Yes.
And Scrooged, which is a modern version of A Christmas Carol.
So how those differ from what Aziz is doing here?
Well, I think they're different in that they focus more on the It's a Wonderful Life take on showing somebody the impact they have on others and others' lives by the way they're living now, and can they change, definitely is something that's in common with Good Fortune, because we have the character of Scrooge, who through this experience of seeing how his life plays out as he's currently lived it and the way he's impacted people, changes as a result of seeing the long-term impact of how he's chosen to live his life. In both movies, there is change. And here we have three characters who, more through a Trading Places scenario and the demotion of the angel to a human life, all three of them are experiencing change. And we do see at the end how when they are all back in their previous lives, but you see how they have changed.
In going back to It's a Wonderful Life, because I think it was so influential on this one, I'm trying to figure out how the characters are paralleled. Yeah, if you have Potter, is that Jeff?
It would be if Potter actually redeemed himself. I don't think we actually see that in the film.
Yes,
it's
that's
a Wonderful
right.
Life. He's just a mean, greedy man.
We know that the Jimmy Stewart character, would that be correct?
Ours, yes.
Yeah, ours. It isn't a dramatic change at the end. And because of this reluctance that ours has to give up the good life that he suddenly inherited, different take.
Well, I think it gives him renewed spirit about his life and his dreams. Again, going back to the word I used earlier, relationships. Because being wealthy, he and Elena didn't fit together. Not necessarily in their lifestyle, but in their aspirations and dreams of what they wanted to accomplish in life. He ends up returning to his life, but he also returns to a relationship with Alana. A new appreciation for his relationship with his parents and being more honest with his dad.
Great.
And
great.
So there's redemption there, having his hope restored. And he actually starts pursuing a documentary about the gig economy.
Yes, right. Because he is an editor of documentaries.
Yes. Yeah. So he's going to make a new film, and he's back with Elena. And even Jeff's character walks into a business meeting and...
Yes, that is a good scene.
Totally lays it on the line as the lead investor for this company about how things are going to change.
I know.
After his experience being in the gig economy.
This is a beautiful home in Los Angeles. My gosh, where do they find these places? Or who owns these places? This beautiful, modern, but comfortable home.
when for one person.
Yeah. It is lonely, isn't
it's
it?
It's a huge house for one person.
That's good. It doesn't all rest on wealth in the end. The solutions, ordinarily we forsake that, but there he's going back to the gig economy.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think your emphasis is the one, it's relationships. You know, that's where your real money is. That's where your real wealth is. And nobody's fooled enough to think that his life is going to be financially better. But if he does become a famous documentarian or something else, that you know, maybe that'll work out. Maybe that'll work out well. It just doesn't have a lot of easy answers for this, not even for the angel. And
well, the angel, we assume, gets his wings restored. Yes, he doesn't really come back. You don't really see that. But you do see a nice touch at the end as a symbol that he's still watching over.
Yes.
Arj. So it's a lovely film. It does provide a lot of laughs. Is it a great film that is going to become a classic like It's a Wonderful Life or a classic story like A Christmas Carol?
But it can stand in line behind them.
It can. And in terms of a trip to the theater to laugh with other people, that's good for your soul, too.
Boy, you are so right. At the end of summer, as we begin the fall, it's a really nice place to be. And for a night where you say, well, I just don't want to sit at home and watch some tube. I want to go out. This is one we could recommend to almost everybody.
Yes. Yeah. Well, except for the F-bombs, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe not the younger.
Mary, I find so many F-bombs these days. I find young people using them. I find they're an easy way out.
I mean, certainly the final scene with Jeff, I mean, it is used selectively, and I don't think it's used in place of actual dialogue. I found it to be appropriate for the character and appropriate for the scene.
It is a language that young people, teenagers, do use. Maybe not in our presence, but they do. Anyway, it's called Good Fortune, and our audience has had the good fortune to listen to one of the top 10 NPR movie podcasts.